proudest day and the proudest time in the seat of a rally car, because that day and that hour and those minutes, I got the bit between my teeth. You know, I really stood up and was counted and said, this is not getting away. I remember when we pulled on our helmets and Donald says to me, what are we doing? I said, we're going for gold, Barrett. That's all we said. I can still picture that run. That was just the best run ever.
Welcome along to Crunching Gears, the Rally Podcast, Season 3, Episode 15. Connor, we have another jam-packed show. We know we say this every week, but it's getting ridiculous at this stage.
We never plan it for it to be this busy, but it just kind of ends up. But it's great. It's testament to the amount of activity that's gone on out there, and there's so many people to get a chance to speak to.
Yeah, because there's so much good news, and it's great to get a chance to share that good news, you know. I suppose before we start, the usual, can you please like, share, subscribe? All those things make a huge difference. So this week we look back at Bishop's Court. We catch up with the one on co-driver, Niall Burns, the second place, Darren Curran, the co-driver there, and then Kyle White, third place driver. And we have them all in together, and that's great crack. And also last weekend, then we have Seb Perez and Gary McHenney, who won the historic Rally Mallorca. They had a great run in the Stratus, and anybody has seen the videos, seen what the Stratus looks like in tarmac trim, the noise and the big wheels and all that. So, and then we look forward to West Cork, and we'll catch up there with Sinead Canny, Mickey Galvin and Kevin O'Driscoll. Also last weekend, but now we didn't get a chance to chat to anybody, the Malcolm Ulster stage is like a great event. Well, could have been a fantastic event for our local guys, but unfortunately it just didn't all happen. At one point, Gary Pearson and her own Hannah Davison was leading the rally, and unfortunately they got a puncture. And then Vivian Hamill and Lorcan Moore were really challenging for the lead as well, and took an eventful second overall at the finish up too. But you know, great result there for them as well too. But Connor, Bishop's Court last weekend, second round of the Northern Ireland Championship. We said it at the start of the year, this championship's looking stronger and stronger with every event.
It is, you know, from cracking entries to cracking competition at the top end. And, you know, again, we said it before and throughout the field. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it was a great event. And certainly from watching watching social media and keeping on top of it, like, it was fairly competitive. And, you know, Johnny Greer didn't get it easy.
Definitely not. You know, it's great to see, you know, the competition, the level of competition going up. And the guys are all singing the praises of Ballinhinch Motor Club. You know, the event they put on, the way they've utilised the Bishop's Court track there and all too, and great to see. But I think we'll catch up with the three guys, so we'll hear from Niall, Darren and then Kyle. Bishop's Court at the weekend. Niall, you took another one, but you didn't get it all your own way this time.
No, these boys from Redcastle, like, geez, they're getting very quick, you know, and they really put us under pressure. And there's another BRC superstar to turn up as well inside the spoiler party there, but... No, he was nip and tuck all day now. It was only came down to the last two stages. I think it was in the second last stage, me and Johnny got ahead. And then we eventually got the win by 3.9. But no, in fairness now, Darren and Aaron pushed us hard all day. And Kyle was there and he was very close. And like obviously Stuart Biggerstaff was unlucky with his wee incident on the stage, you know, losing the wheel. And then Philip Allen was really on the charge there as well. But it was very competitive now. We really had to work for it. But no, we were delighted to get it now.
Yeah, and like, you know, the new layout in Bishop's Court seems to, you know, like very positive, you know, no catching cars on the stage, and the layout looked really good. Any videos or pictures I've seen so far?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it now. Like, it was fantastic layout. They've obviously spent a lot of money there, and it's all credit to Ballinhinch District Motor Club for putting in that amount of work, you know, and they had said that they were going to try and do something for a while to avoid having the splits. Obviously, you know, cars catching each other and stuff and competitors getting frustrated, and they said they were going to work on it. And in fairness, they didn't pull out a fantastic venue there now. And it was a great, great rally. And it's all been positive feedback from it so far. And we really enjoyed it. And any competitor I've been speaking to really enjoyed it. So, you know, now had a great layout and fantastic. And hopefully now we can develop that even further now going into the event next year.
Excellent. And Darren, from your point of view, like yourself and Aaron, you know, the pace, you showed the pace and previous rounds, but nice to pull it all together and just, you know, within 4 seconds of Johnny Greer's, it's not a bad achievement.
No, we were happy enough there. I'd just like to correct Niall there as well, and it was actually 3.7, not 3.9.
What's point of always talking between friends, Darren?
But no, it was no, we were happy enough. Now we got the again. We gave Johnny a good run for it as long time as anybody could kind of get near him. So we were no, we were happy enough just to be close to be there with him. It was a good crack all day now.
Yeah, and like Aaron has really took to the polo. Like he seems to be settled in well to it now.
Aye, that's really our fourth event in it. The first one had a turkey run there, we won that, and then we went to Bishop's Court there and we got fourth, and down in Mayo, which was just Mayo was worse than Galway for slippiness, and also it was kinda that would have been the first closed road in the car. So it was kinda hard, you know, to get a good feel of the car down there. But so and then went there, Bishop's Court made a good enough run there. So we'll find out now, and possibly the circuit that was talked about there on the way home on Saturday. So that could be the next run out on her, I would say. But if not, it'll be Monaghan then, anyways.
Excellent, excellent. And Kyle, you know, for you, this was the whole idea of starting Northern Ireland Championship, was to get, you know, seat time ahead of the BRC, and like, you know, to come away with a third place there at the weekend, you have to be very happy with that, because this year in particular, the level in the Northern Ireland Championship is it's as good as anywhere at the minute.
Yeah, no, 100%. I totally agree with you. You see all the guys in the Northern Ireland Championship are completely cutting it up in the Tarmac Championship, maybe even to go and, you know, filter out into different championships in Europe, maybe. But, oh, the problem is when you're arriving up to Bishop's Court, you're so full of hopes, and you see Niall Burns and Darren Kerner camping at the circuit a couple of weeks prior. You know, so, no, listen, we turned up at high hopes, all the rest of it, but... the two guys at the front, they were just completely in the league of their own. They're so, I couldn't believe the speed in them. So absolutely fair play to them. But no, it's good. Also, they're great guys as well. You know, there's a lot of personalities going about at the minute. Like Darren Kern, you know, we're on here. We're basically flabbergasted that we're involved with them, you know, that sort of way. But no, listen, it was... we actually just a wee private conversation between me and Sean. We came in off the first, I think it was the first stage, and I was straight on the rally scoring the phone looking, right, what's happening here? And I say, oh, Sean, we're only 0.7 behind Johnny and Neller. Oh, great, great. Here's me, oh, you're not going to believe who's leading this. And he says, who's that? And he says, Aaron and Darren. And privately, we had a wee thing there going on that if I had beat Aaron and Darren, they were going to change their Facebook profile photo to a picture of me, and then vice versa. So, we says, hi, we're going to go out here in stage two, we're going to rip it up, we're going to do this, and then I think they took about 5 or 10 out of us then. But no, it was very humbling, obviously, to see the pace, and as I say, just touching what Niall said, they're a real top-notch circuit, and what they've done there at Bishop's Court, I really, really thoroughly enjoyed the concrete section that they've revamped, and yeah, going forward, it'll be a rally I'd hope to do, you know, near enough every year.
Yeah, because like, I spoke to Brian Crawford last week, and he says they have utilised every inch of the, you know, they've used parts of the car park, everything, just to get, you know, to get as many kilometres as possible for the, you know, the crews. And like, I think that all paid off. Like, I seen the Anfield section that they had the clay banks up, and you're going through it. Like, not many clubs would go to that effort.
No, they really wouldn't. I think what they were actually doing, they were ringing around neighbours and trying to get their houses knocked down just to build lanes in through their driveway. But I couldn't actually believe, you know, for a race circuit, you don't get, what is it, 3 or 4 mile, you know, loop of just one without having to do a merge somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see the idea that they came off with. And, you know, basically, when you're not merging with cars, you're taking away a risk factor too, because there have been a couple of times, namely Alton Park, where we near had a massive collision with an Evo 9. They're the sort of things you don't, you know, have to contend with then, which is really good. So fair play to them.
Yeah. And like, Darren, you talked about, you know, this is like your third time now in the track and all this here. Like, you put Bishop's Court up there with any of them?
I would probably say, to be quite honest with you, that's probably the best of the circuits that we've ever been on now. The, it was 4.5 miles, just under 8 kilometers high, and there was everything in it. There was high speed stuff, there was tight twisty stuff, there was everything you could want on it. Like, it would definitely, I would say, you know, like Shackleton would be a big favorite of ours there, but I would say that would give Shackleton a good run for it there. It was really, really good and well put together. Like,
And the polo just seemed to really take to it, like early in the morning too, in the dry, dusty conditions. And Aaron was just like, you know, very comfortable right from the get go. Sometimes Aaron can, you know, maybe the first stage he just takes that wee bit of time to get going, but right from the get go, he was on it on Saturday morning.
Normally we're normally in the way home before he gets going, to be quite honest with you. But in the morning there, we had a bit of an advantage over the boys there because we were running down 11th in the road and the other guys kind of had to clear the dust, so they had a wee bit of disadvantage there. But so that kind of gave us the jump in the morning there too. We had a tires day avoid thanks to Kyle there. But apart from that, now it was that wee jump there, but as it got the dust cleared every stage, like it was kind of more of an even path there. Like, but it was definitely very good now.
Excellent. And now, you know, that's 2-1s in the Northern Ireland Championship. Puts you in a good place now going forward.
Yeah, it does, obviously. And look, Maiden City stage is coming up now, obviously, and back to rallies of the state. Hopefully, stage we've made on in the rally in 22. But me and Johnny had a short-lived rally back then, unfortunately. But we're looking forward to getting on the closed road now. And obviously, there's so many competitors there. Like, when you look at the line of our five machinery, it's turned out for the Northern Ireland Championship this year, and everyone seems to be committed to the championship, which is great too. So there's going to be some good battles coming up for the three closed road events. But I just mentioned what Aaron said there. You know, Aaron, you know, sometimes he's a slow starter, but it all balanced out when I seen him on the way in down Patrick with the bonnet up on the van driving home. So I just look at usual, look caught up with him just later in the day first. The navigator took off and left the driver. You know, there's no talk about this, like, you know.
Every man for themselves on the way home, is it?
Where is this podcast going, Bush?
And Niall, the new social media side behind it now, the Northern Ireland Championship, you know, there's going to be this YouTube video come out, you know, at the end of the week, and, you know, the live updates as it happened on, you know, from the day, and all. It's really lifting it up to another level as well.
Oh, no, definitely, like, the social media content and everything they're doing, it'll drive, like, any of the top championships there as well, and, like, Adam's doing a fantastic job there, obviously, and all the championship organisers to get this off the ground, and the wee highlight reel that was coming up there is fantastic, and there's so much up, as you say, there's so many updates throughout the day, too, which is fantastic to see, and it's a boost for sponsors, too, like, you know, that you're getting so much media coverage, too, and it's great that we can promote some of the sponsors as well via that, so, no, hey, it was a welcome addition to the championship this year, and I think, you know, as the rounds go on the closed road, they're going to be doing even more, and which is fantastic, and credit to them for bringing to the series this year.
Yeah, and like, Darren, you know, you've been the superstar you are, like, this is another opportunity for you to reach out to your fans and sign even more autographs with all this now going on as well.
Well, you was fast swallowing on that man's head.
The whole social media bit is, you can notice it this year, like, as Niall was saying there, that there's a report after every stage there, and before the rally, there's a lot of media going on about it, and after the rally, like, and that new YouTube program that's going on now as well, it definitely is a good job. So it is, like, I even managed to get my boot signed there by Sean Toppin and everything out the weekend. So,
yeah,
and another bonus.
And would you be putting them in the glass case now? Will they be going in now? Like, they'll be retired now and need the new pair bought now.
Well, Sean hasn't got long left himself because he's the right age, you know, so within a short time, they'll be worth money, like I would say, so they won't.
They could be on eBay before long. And Kyle, like, from your point of view, we've talked before, you know, you're a small team, to get the kind of exposure that this new media side from the Northern Ireland Championship's providing, it must be a godsend for you to get your name out there and get your sponsors out there.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we're very lucky this year. We've had a lot of people coming on board. And the only reason I think I'm into the R5 class is that car came up at a complete cutthroat price out of nowhere. Because the idea was we're maybe going to take a year or two out, or, you know, try and build up a couple of funds and go straight for a Rally 2 car, because you feel that you're maybe at a disadvantage when you're going for a 2016 car, which is what we have. It's the earliest evolution that you can actually get. But no, listen, that car came up with the money, and I just thought to myself, if I take a year or two out, that's a year or two that I don't get to see Darren Curran, and that is in itself an awful, you know, it's a big blow. So no, we decided to go for the car then, and yeah, I think we did make the right choice in the end. This, you know, value for money, I don't think you can beat that type of car, the Hyundai R5, because I think it just has a bit of everything, you know, that sort of way.
This is only your second rally in an R5 car. Like, you know, to come away with third place, and you've seen some of the names behind you, like previous winners of events, you know, guys that were umpteen rallies in R5 cars on below their belt. You have to be very proud.
Yeah, no, we're absolutely delighted. Secretly going into the weekend, I said, I want the podium, because obviously we had the Gremlins at Kirkuston and we didn't get finished, but you're going up against the absolute best of the best, and Johnny and Aaron and Stuart and whatnot at the top there. So to be mixing it with them early on, okay, they did leave me a wee bit at the end, but just to show that there's potential there to go match them, and they're at the absolute top of their game, and credit to them. Like, it's great to be involved, because if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best inevitably. So yeah, it's good to be up against that, and going forward, I'll have to try and maybe have a better go at them.
And Darren, like, you know, that, like, having them races like that there, that helps you just lift your game as well. You know, you just would rather be involved in that competition and even finish second than get an easy one, I would suspect.
I would, surely. Well, like, whenever you're in a tight battle, like, between the seconds, like, we were there all day on Saturday, you drive far better. You drive far better yourself, like, and you're pushing yourself on the whole times, and you're finding more things out about the car, what it can do, and sometimes what it can't do, and stuff like that. But even that last stage there, we come off that last stage, we went down there at 1.9 behind Johnny and Niall, and we come off the stage, and I says to him, it's not often I have to tell him this now, but I says to him, like, I've never seen you drive like that before. Everything was just pitch perfect. And I said to myself, I'd be surprised if Johnny beat that. And then he went and took 1.8 out of us. But like, if you were going about there and you were 10 seconds in front or 10 seconds behind, you wouldn't have drove half as hard. Like, yeah, everything was through onto that last stage there. And only for the tight battle, you wouldn't be there. Like,
And now, whenever you hear that there, like, you know, they were pitch perfect. You just must have been even 11th in that last stage.
All I kept telling Johnny is, if Darren Curran beats me, I will not hear the end of it for a long time. No, they will not listen to this man for a whole week. He will get too much mileage. Whatever you need to do, rub every tire, just go for it. Do not let that man beat us. That's exactly what I said before.
But isn't that what it's about? Like, you know, you're all about rallying long enough now to know that, you know, Malcolm Olsen's not going to be coming knocking the door on Monday morning. You're out for the crack and a bit of fun. You take it very seriously, no doubt about it. But it's all about having a wee bit of fun as well.
Oh, look, you can say the same. Like, sure, in the service park there between stages, like, as you can see, like, there's no difference. We're the same. Remember, at the service park, there's laughing, there's banter. When the helmet goes on, you go off the line, it's a different story. But, you know, we're all doing it because we love to do it. Like, you know, we love the competition. We love being out in the stages, but we love the banter in between as well. So, and that's what's great about Northern Ireland Championship too. Like, you know, you have so many, like, I have so many good friends doing the championship as well, and we're away, and it's not too much time away from work. It's not too much time away from home. It's ideal championship. And when you get battles like that, it just makes it even better, you know?
And, like, you know, going forward now, like, West Cork coming up now at the weekend, like, it's full steer into that now, the new 3-day format and all that brings its own challenges as well.
Yeah, obviously, extra midweek rec, you know, you're away that wee bit long, you know, you're probably away for 5 days for this rally now compared to what we would have been before. But look, you know, it's fantastic to see that the organisers put on to get the extra stages and obviously support the event got to run it. And look, as everyone's been saying for years, you know, there's how many competitors travel up from that part of the world to do 3 days in Donegal, you know, which is a fair point. So, you know, we can't really say too much having to go down there. But no, look, the stages look good, as they always do. You know, you have your classics there, you have Ardfield, you have Ring, you have Dunwarley, there's parts of Sam's Cross, and maybe a few different variations of stages. And as everything else, you just hope the weather's on your side for West Cork as well, because the rain comes down, it can be very slippy. But no, hey, we're lucky, we've our prep done, we're getting ready for Rec, you know, and we're looking forward to the battles down there ahead.
Yeah, and do you feel, you know, coming away from Bishop Court, like you're race ready as such, you know, you've the shakedown done in the car?
Yeah, well, obviously we had a bit of a disappointment in Galway there, you know, puncture in the very first stage, which wasn't good, and a wee altercation. Then later on, we got good mileage on Sunday, but, you know, the confidence was a bit down with two wins in the back there, you know, and car seems to be running well, you know, it does build, does lift you a wee bit, you know, and you need that going into these rounds because, look, you're racing some of the best there, Callum and Keith, just to name a few, going down there, Matt Edwards there as well, and Josh, you have to be on your game there. So obviously, just coming off the seat time there on Saturday with the win, you are going in that wee bit more confident, and hopefully it all pays dividends now come Friday afternoon.
Excellent. And Darren, from yourself and Aaron now going forward, you shall not make the trip to West Cork, but are you going down yourself?
No, I'm not going to bother going down the Irtay. It's, to me, it's just, it's a week away there nearly, and I just, no, it's not for me at all. I've enough to, I've 8 events done this year already, and see, to go down to West Cork, it's just a no-no to me, so it's not, so I'm going to give it a miss this year.
And then when's the next time yourself and Arnold be out then?
As I was going to say, there we were talked about, well, it was meant to be Monaghan, but now there's talks of the Circuit of Ireland could be, because this year, we weren't too pushed in going because of the road mileage and stuff every year. It's normally high enough, eh? But I was looking this year, and I think the longest road sections might be 6 miles, so that's more appealing to us. So that, and it's only an hour and a half from home as well, so that could be, the circuit could be the next run out, I would say, in the polo anyways.
Excellent. And Kyle, we know you're, you know, this is all about building time, but, you know, for the BRC coming up now in 2 weeks time, and like, it's going to be epic, the lineup of stuff that's going to be there in that first round.
Yeah, it's absolutely scary. I think I was the first name to go down on the BRC. I thought to myself, okay, we've moved up, we acquired free entries. Obviously, we haven't won the Junior British Championship last year, so it just made sense. And obviously, Carmichael Logistics has came on board. He's going to cover our transport this year. So, yeah, it, mathematically, it just made sense to go do that. And I thought, okay, I got third overall last year in the junior car. I think it's the first time that's ever happened. So I thought to myself, okay, I'll aim for the same target again, go for third in the championship, and then just about every man and his dog entered into it. You've got, you know, you've got Chris Ingram, you've got Keith from over home, you've got, oh, the names, it just goes on. It's absolutely incredible, the list now. So you're absolutely going to have the stars aligning if you want to have any sort of result there. And having never been on a stage in an R5 car, it'll be a steep learning curve, but obviously it's something me and Sean will be relishing, and going up against guys like that, you'll have to enjoy it at the very least. So you will.
That was some crack. Them three boys, that's what rallying's all about to me. You know, having the fun, the bit of banter there too, you know. So thanks very much to the three boys. And then this is next up then we have Seb Perez and Gary McLenny. You know, they've won the historic Rally of Mallorca now 4 times in the last 5 years. You know, what a record to have. Brilliant to see, you know, and the Stratus. Oh, anyway, before we go there, yeah, so anyway, I think we'll catch up with the two boys. Seb, Gary, another great one at the weekend in the historic Rally of Mallorca.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Yeah, it was a nice little win back out in the Stratos, so yeah, it was good, actually. Yeah, a bit of rain as well, which helped our case against the Porsches, but yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, and like, you know, that's 4 wins in 5 years now. Obviously, the COVID year, you weren't able to travel. So like, that's a lovely record to have there as well.
Not a bad record, yeah. Yeah, well, the problem is we've got to keep it now. That's the really nice. It's a lovely event. The roads are fantastic. Some cracking long stages. We had a 23K stage on to end the second day, which was really nice. So yeah, no, the roads are really good. And yeah, it's a good rally.
Yeah, and Gary, like a 23-kilometre stage, like, does that keep you busy? Or, you know, is it all kind of twists and corners and one thing or another?
That stage kind of changed halfway through. The first half of it was really, really technical up a mountain called Sacalabra. It's quite a famous stage out here. You know, it was really, really technical. And then it opened out onto the main road and it was really fast for, you know, the next, let's say, 8 or 9K. So you're always busy out in Mallorca, Colin notes. It's really always twisty. As I say, this one was a new stage they added in the second half to Sacalabra this year. But so you're always busy out here, Colin Oates.
And the level of competition every year is getting higher and higher out there as well now too. You know, there's some fantastic machinery appearing as well.
I think this rally's got more popular this last probably maybe 3 to 4 years. You know, there's a lot of Germans come here and heavy duty Porsches. There's lots of Europeans, but Germans seem to like it here for some reason, whether they've holiday homes here or whatever. That's our main opposition always nearly comes from Germany. Chris Rosenberger is he's Austrian, and he's really quick out here. And but there's a couple of Germans we have to battle with every year.
Yeah, and like I said, the last time we spoke, the Stratas had to go and get repairs after the RAC. So like to get it back so soon, like we know how delicate this car is. It wasn't just a matter of going and getting a few bits off the shelf to fix this car. This was a big job.
Yeah, it was a massive job. I mean, literally after the RAC, got the car back and we blasted it off and got the engine out of it straight away to get back down to Swindon. And to be fair to them, they literally got it back. I think it was like 3 days before the car was due to leave. We had the morning of the car. The car was on the boat that night. We did a shakedown in the morning. So yeah, if there was a problem, we wouldn't have been going. But to be fair, it ran sweet all weekend. But yeah, the car needed quite a lot of work after the RAC. It was pretty hard on the poor thing. But yeah, as well as the engine, obviously. But yeah, it was tough going.
Yeah, and like in tarmac trim, the car looks spectacular. You know, it was fantastic in the RAC, but to see it, with the big front spoiler, the wide wheels, it just looks so mean.
Yeah, it looks a proper car in tarmac trim. It's problem is on gravel, it's sort of on the little skinny wheels and it has to be super high. So it looks a bit strange, but yeah, it looks a proper car on tarmac, and that's really what they were famous for its success on tarmac.
And what's it like them big wide wheels on, good dry tarmac? Does it stick to the road or
it's good. It's got a lot of grip. It probably handles better than a Porsche, but it hasn't quite got the grunt. It's making the power now, but it just hasn't quite got the grunt is a problem. Like just that pull out the corner, it sort of misses that a bit. But yeah, it's good fun. It was interesting in the wet with a 295 rear tire on it, as you can imagine. But it's a bit interesting in places. But no, it's a good car to drive.
Yeah, and like Gary, from your point of view, like I can imagine, like in the wet, that thing. You're going to be holding on tight a few times, pulling the bolts a wee bit
on tight, wet or dry in that machine. But it was really tricky on day three of this event. That of course it never really rains when you're rallying in Mallorca, but this time it properly rained. We had wet tires thankfully with us, and it was just when you could stand water, nothing works, but with big white wheels, it was just she was just skating all over the road. Really, really tricky. But Mr. P can keep her on the road all right, thankfully. So it was good now.
And like I said, does your racing help, in the likes of Mallorca, for is the smooth of the tar, or is it a different technique?
It definitely helps you with sort of lines and opening corners up and sections of it. But obviously, you don't know where you're going within reason. Obviously, people get it's open recce out there, which is quite good. So you get to have a few passes to the stages. But I think probably, not like speak too big of myself, but I'm probably quite good at opening a road up in terms of the line better than most. So I can generally get the most out of the car rather than a lot of people probably end up down the middle of the road, lose a bit of time that way. But yeah, it's good. I think the wet in my racing has come from a rallying really. I think that's just one of those things.
You can have to deal with it in the moment.
Yeah, just hold on and hope for the best sometimes. But
yeah, and you've had the opportunity to drive the Porsche in the last few weeks and the Stratus. What's the car that if you had to pick one tomorrow morning, would it be the Stratus still or would it be the Porsche?
Oh, that's tricky. I think the hype around the Stratos is incredible, as you well know, especially from the RAC. There's a lot of Porsches out already. So to bring something different and to go and dust a load of Porsches in the Stratos, which you could maybe say is the underdog, was really nice. The Porsche is still a great car. It's a really nice thing to drive. Lots of torque, very well balanced. You can really trust it and lean on it. You you've got to be a bit more cautious with the Stratos, especially where it's bumpy. Fortunately, in Mallorca, the roads are lovely and smooth, but anything bumpy, you've got to watch with the Stratos, because when it goes, it goes quick.
Yeah, there's not the same kind of natural movement with it. It's either all on or all off, almost kind of thing.
Yeah, you go from feeling really comfortable in the car for it trying to put you in a dry stone wall. So it all happens really quickly in that. Whereas the Porsche sort of, it's a little bit slower to react, and it, yeah, you can sort of deal with it a bit better.
And then the Stratus is going to be parked up this weekend and Rally North Wales and a different car again.
Yeah. So we're out this weekend, Rally North Wales, in little Porsche. It's quite an early car, 1970. So yeah, nice car actually. So looking forward to getting out in that Rally North Wales. So yeah, did it last year. We had, I think we had a misfire in the end, and we didn't finish, did we?
Broke a rocker, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Broke a rocker. So. 2 years ago, I think we broke that.
Yeah. So that was a shame. So yeah, try and have a clean run on that.
Yeah, Gary, that British Historic Championship has really developed into something very, very strong. Like, there's entries coming, you know, the Porsche, the Mark II, and like, it's right across the UK. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys travel over from Ireland here for it now as well, too.
Yeah, that's definitely grown, that British Historic series. I know for Rally North Wales, you have Mark Higgins coming to do it, and there's a Tier 8.
Tier 7.
So that's going to bring extra hype to this round. Gwyndaf Evans is also doing it, I think, in a Mark II. So that's going to bring more excitement. But each round of that championship always gets a good entry. There's a couple of Irish boys, Owen McMacken there, always comes over and does them. And Man McDade and Declan Casey always come over. They've done it maybe twice that series now. But no, it's good. And it's good to see Irish over there, because the Forest over here, they're mega. Like, it, they're really, really good rounds. And good, like, this weekend we're doing Rally GB stages, Gerthignog and Dovey and all that, or Diffant, whatever they call it. So it's good stages, and stages are just, you know, everybody sees on TV, etc. So it's cool to be doing them.
Yeah, and like, say, from your point of view, is it like, is then the kind of stages that you wake up now on Sunday morning just itching at the bit to get the, you know, get the feel of gravel bouncing off the back of the car?
Yeah, I think the UK gravel roads are just fantastic, and then Rally Nuts in a couple of weeks as well, using some more fantastic old GB stages. So yeah, it's really nice to get out on some proper classic Welsh stages. But yeah, I think rallying in the UK is sort of, I hope so, it's sort of coming back a bit with sort of British Historic Championship. BRC's got an incredible entry this year, which is really good to see. Live coverage with ITV and that sort of thing as well. So hopefully it's the return, and obviously the RAC was incredible. But so hopefully rallying in the UK is coming back.
Yeah, because like, and I do believe that, you know, Historic Rallying has kind of set the precedent. You know, like, the way they changed around their championship, I think, was probably an inspiration to the BRC as well too, because they kind of almost followed the same pattern. You know, they've took it and kind of make it more compact, that, you know, and less rounds, and, you know, give the competitors what they want. And that seems to be the BRC has went down as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're starting to introduce some closed road rallies over here in the UK. I mean, they're not like what you guys have over in Ireland by any means, but it's a start. And yeah, I think it's probably going to lead towards that way with the way sort of forestry is going. But if motorsports and rallying in particular has got a really good following and stuff, then hopefully it'll help the case for rallying in the UK and in Welsh Forest. But yeah, we'll see. It's nice to see some competitive rallying coming back, and yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend and watching how everyone gets on the BRC as well.
Yeah. The pace is great. The pace is serious over them for us, and them events really good. Like, you've hard chargers like Aidan Hetherington over here, and he's driving hard. He's hard to beat. Like,
yeah.
You know? But the pace is really good, and it's good to see.
Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the TR7, we've seen what it's done in the RAC, and you know, Chris Ingram wrung the neck off it. Like, it's going to be very interesting to see how Mark Higgins performs in it as well.
Yeah, like, Mark Higgins could drive anything fast. He could drive an over defender fast. Like, I'm very excited to see what way he's going to go on it. Mm-hmm. Especially if he gets a bit of testing, a bit of setup time in it. I think he'll be really quick, yeah. He's seated number 20, but I think he'll be one to watch now. He'll definitely be, we'll be checking his times, don't I?
That's for sure. Yeah, and like Gary, for yourself, like, you know, huge time and commitment you're putting into all this as well too, and like it needs a strong team behind you at home to make sure all this happens for you as well.
Well, Charlene's she's happy to see me doing what we love to do. We love rallying, we always did. So now if her play to her now, she lets me get away and get on these adventures with Seb. And fair play to Seb for asking me to come on board a good few years ago now, and we're still here. And we have to mention Steve, that I keep saying in my Facebook post, makes all this happen. He's the boy that wants us to go, and he's just more keen nearly to go rallying than me and Seb. Sometimes he's pushing us, why don't you just do a few more? And he's keeping us going too. So we have to thank everybody at home. Yeah.
Yeah. And Steve, like, you know, as Gary just said there, like, your dad is your biggest supporter, and like, he had a fantastic run there as well. For a man that has cut back on his rallying, not out as much, you know, take a strong finish there in New York at the weekend as well.
Yeah, he's not doing as much now. He's sort of just decided to just do the events he really enjoys, and he's been lucky enough to do a lot of rallying. So he's just gone, right, I'm just going to do the ones I enjoy. And yeah, they had a really good run in Mallorca. I think the wet weather helped, being in the little escort. Poor thing got his neck wrung for 3 days. But he had a really nice result, fifth overall, against some big, heavy Porsches. So yeah, I think he was pretty happy with that. So yeah, I don't know what he's thinking of doing next, but he'll find something cool to go and have a play.
Yeah, because he has a few toys to play with.
Yeah, he's got a few, yeah.
And he might get the Stratus out at some point, or will you lend him his own car back again now at this stage?
Maybe. We'll see. That's for negotiation. That my name's on the door now, so we'll see. But no, I think he'd like to go out again in it, to be fair. I think he'd be on tarmac, but yeah, he'd like to have another run in it now, I think. But yeah, we'll see.
He's definitely fell in love with it again. I know he said one time he lost his love for it after the incident, but he's definitely the social media buzz around it, as we talked about, is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So I think he enjoys all that buzz and enjoys the hype, and you know, of course, it's one of his brands too that's getting all the advertising with Amigos and stuff. So he's he enjoys all that, and it all works, like.
Yeah, and of course the Gary McElhinney media special, that his shots, you know, with the yachts in the background and all that there too, just add to the story.
Yeah, Gary knows how to push it. Yeah, media marketing expert over here.
Yachting expert, I know. Listen, whenever you're, people say whenever you're older, you can look back. Well, I'm getting older, so it's sad. So we'll be looking back on all these adventures and these cool photographs and stuff and saying, do you know what, that was mega.
So thanks there to Seb and Gary. And I think that Rally North Wales at the weekend is going to be a cracker, Connor.
Yeah, it's looking quite good. What do you call it now? Obviously, weather conditions are going to be interesting. Yeah. But what do you call it? Yeah, there's a very strong entry. And I suppose the bit of excitement there was Mark Higgins in a TR7.
That's for sure. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how Mark gets on, you know. So, and then, you know, quite a lot of local interest over there as well, too. Adrian Hillington, Michael McDade, Gary, obviously, and Owen McMacken. David Crossan, just to name but a few there, you know, too. So, yeah, and you talk about weather conditions. Not great weather conditions forecast for West Cork this weekend either.
No, certainly isn't. Like, it's getting its fill of rain at the minute. And, who knows if it's going to ease up in time or not.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure. And I've seen even somebody posted, Desi Wilson posted a photo from Costa Brava, the wreck he's on today, for it, and there's snow. So... You think maybe if you're going to Costa Brava, you're guaranteed good weather, but it's not looking good out there as well later. But yeah, West Cork this weekend. You know, what can we say about West Cork? It hasn't been said before. You know, 100 and, well, I think they're just tipping maybe 169, 170 at the moment. But like, epic rally every year seems to be getting better and better. The night stage is going to be another new novelty there too as well. I just think this is going to be a fantastic rally.
Absolutely. Look, starting on a Friday, four stages, as you say, two of them in the dark. Like, it really is a tough test. And if we're going to throw the weather into that as well, like, that's a tough ask, you know, straight into the thick of it. Fast stages in the dark and a lashing rain.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. So we're here a wee bit about that. First of all, we'll catch up with Sinead Canny. Sinead is travelling over from Singapore to do the event. She's going to be sitting with her brother in a Fiesta Rally 2. So we speak about West Cork and what's the appeal of coming over for West Cork. And we also speak then about the Women in Motorsport forum that was on there last weekend as well too, which looked an absolutely fantastic event. You know, good crowd of people at it, and seemed to be really good, interesting topics up for discussion as well, Connor.
Yeah, look, they covered a lot, and it was great to see, you know, obviously tied it in with International Women's Day, etc. But, you know, we need more of this. And again, the more women we can encourage to get into the sport and take part in the sport, you know, from our competitors that were over in Saudi Arabia to our competitors at home on the Targa events or the night navigations or right through to, you know, the stage rally. And, like, it's fantastic to see.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So anyway, let's hear from Sinead. So Sinead, we're a few days out now from West Cork. You've made the trip from Singapore to compete in West Cork, an event you've done numerous times now at this stage.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm delighted to be here to chat to you. But yes, I've made the journey a few times now. I was previously living in London before making the move to Singapore, so I complicated my travel a little bit more by going out to Asia. I think West Cork offers just an amazing weekend. It is over St. Patrick's weekend, so the crack is there for sure. But for me, the road mileage, the stages, it's one of the more practical events if you're going to travel from a long distance point of view. But also at the same time, the club is amazing. Steve just does such an amazing job. They have incentives for people who travel from overseas to come. We get, you know, extra vouchers from around town. So everything is in place to encourage people to travel from overseas. And then just to complicate things even further, my brother, who I sit with, travels from Boston. So, yeah, just to add a few extra mileage. And this year, my younger brother is also traveling from New York to compete in the event. So, yeah, there's three Cannies showing up in West Cork, much to the COC's delight this year.
Yeah, and there's much different. It's a family reunion by the sound of it as well.
Absolutely. We don't see each other too often, but it tends to be centred around a rally or maybe Christmas. But yeah, it is definitely a time where we can get together. We all have something to talk about. And also, you know, my brother brings his wife's actually from Cork, so she comes too, and their daughter. So we get to meet up with their family. So you're absolutely right. It's more than just the rally. It's a family occasion as well. But obviously, you know, the rally is family as well. So yeah, it's a fantastic time to come back.
Yeah, and previously you sat with your father in West Cork as well too. So, you know, this, like, you know, as the saying goes, you didn't like this off the step. The rallying's in the blood.
Yeah, I actually was really honoured to write an article for the programme last year. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it due to work commitments, but I think he had competed like 35 years ago in the West Cork Rally, and he'd competed a few times, and little did we know that 2014, the two of us would sit in beside each other and finish the rally and get the coveted mug at the end of the weekend. So yeah, no, you're right, it's in the blood, and as anyone who's watching tonight knows, if it's in the blood, unfortunately, it's there to stay, and it's very hard to get rid of it. So yeah, it's I'm really, really lucky to have that sort of that family background, and obviously continuing it with my brothers as well.
Yeah, and like the car of choice this weekend, Ryan Loughran Fiesta, a Rally 2 car, and like, you know, what a weapon to be, you know, sitting into on Friday night.
Oh, I'm like, I just can't even imagine what it's going to be like, especially with the night stages. But we did, we hired with Ryan 2 years ago, so we've had an absolute taste of how he operates. Such a brilliant setup, and like dealing with Ryan is amazing. But, you know, his cars are just unbelievable as well. So, I mean, from a mechanical point of view, I'll sit in, and, you know, I've often been asked to look after a couple of buttons. But as far as I'm concerned, the driver looks after all the mechanical side. And, you know, I've got a big enough job with two books of pace notes this year, much to my delight. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And look, the speed on the starting line on stage one, I think, just gives you goosebumps. And once you take off, you just know this is why you're here, and this is why you're going to come back year after year again.
And the night stages is a new challenge this year too, and that, you know, that adds another dimension to it and something else to look forward to as well.
Yeah, we did one night stage about 3 years ago. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was 3 years ago. And I remember finishing the end of the stage, and they had given us a little pack with a high vis in it, and then you were giving it back to them. And the last thing I said, giving back the pack, is, can I do that again? It was just you know, it was amazing. And I remember going past the Four Olds bar and even getting photographs of it afterwards. It's just special. It makes things just a little bit more exciting. And I'm sure for the spectators as well, it's something really, really exciting for them to come out and see the cars at night. But it'll be challenging. We'll have two stages in daylight, and then we'll come back in and go out and do the two night stages. So, you know, fingers crossed, all crews will get back and be ready to go again on Saturday morning.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, you know, we talk about, you know, like Ring and, you know, all the names that you can think of associated with West Cork, and they're all there in spades now come the weekend as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think Ring does stand out. And I think for me, why it stands out the most is, you know, when you're queuing up, it doesn't matter if you're car number one or car number 176, as there will be this weekend. It's watching people sitting on the wall, waving at you, you know, the kids just coming up to you while you're waiting there and like waving in the window. And it's definitely special. And also the road mileage is so short. It's just great to just come out of service and you're down and you're ready to go. So yeah, Ring for me is absolutely special. It's synonymous with West Cork. And like I said, you just feel like a bit of a celebrity when you're pulling up along the front before you take off. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing that stage. I think it's Saturday afternoon as far as I know.
Yeah. And, like, you know, as well, then at the weekend just passed, Motorsport Ireland hosted a Women in Motorsport conference. And, like, what an event it seemed to be. Like, just seeing some of the stuff online, it has looked to be a fantastic weekend.
It was. So I sit on the Motorsport Ireland Women in Motorsport Commission with an incredible bunch of individuals. There's about 12 of us in total, and our chairperson is Rosemary Walsh. She just leads a fantastic commission. The commission's there really just to represent females in motorsport, be that on a volunteer or competitor side, to give them a voice, to make sure that, you know, we're doing what we can to promote equality, whether that be on the competitor side or on the volunteer side. So yeah, we all gathered at the Midland Park Hotel on Saturday at 4:30. We had about 95 attendees. And I think we set out to make sure that we represented multidisciplines on the day. So we had everything from sporting trial to karting to mud plugging, which is sporting trial, to rallying. And then also we not only had the competitor side of things, we also had a volunteer side. We had a speaker from Sport Ireland. It was amazing to have Aidan Harper speak. And we also had a panel, Stars of the Future panel, you know, girls as young as 12 up to 16, 17, speaking about their passion for the sport. And what was really amazing was when they were asked who their heroes were, you know, bearing in mind these kids are, you know, pretty young, and they mentioned like Rosemary Smith and also Michelle Mouton. So they're not after, you know, the younger, trendier drivers. It's the people that have, you know, stood on the world stage and made that massive difference. So, you know, one of them remarked that they'd read her book and they just want to be like her. So hugely inspirational. And, you know, we cannot thank everybody who traveled from near and far. We even had some attendees who had actually signed on 70 crews during the day for West Cork, drove to Portlaoise and drove home again. So I just want to say a massive shout out to those guys, because I know, you know, heading to an event the weekend before the West Cork rally is a massive ask. And yeah, they were there. So yeah, it was a brilliant event. And again, thanks to everybody who attended.
Yeah. And, like, you know, we should just, you know, before we go any further, like Rosemary Smith, like, what, you know, what a trailblazer she was. Like, she set the standard, like, that we are still aspiring to, like, how many years later. She, you know, there was no glass ceiling as far as Rosemary Smith was concerned. She wanted to go out and compete, no matter who she was competing against or where she was competing. She wanted to take on everybody and won.
I mean, like I said, to hear a 14 or a 15 year old say that she was their idol just shows you the impact that she had on, you know, the lives of females in motorsport. And she did it against all the odds. And I think, like, it just shows you that she will inspire for future generations. Her book is amazing. And, you know, she gave her time right up until the end to attend events. I believe she was the oldest lady to ever drive an F1 car. I mean, there was nothing that she didn't do and nothing that would stop her, even, like I said, up until the very end. And, you know, we remembered her on the evening along with Sarah Purcell as well, you know, two incredibly important and influential females in the Motorsport Ireland, you know, industry. So, you know, again, Rosemary will continue to inspire, you know, for forever, frankly. Yeah. And, you know, she was one of my idols. And in fact, I used to like dress up as Rosemary Smith when I was a child. Well, I suppose my mom dressed me up as her. But you just think about the generations from that age right up until now, she's still number one in people's minds.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's another woman you mentioned, Sarah Purcell, too, another inspiring, you know, driver, just full stop. You know, what she went through in her last year, like to go out and compete and what she was going through, like it just is inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, no words can describe, you know, how inspirational Sarah was, and she will continue again to inspire, you know, females, competitors, volunteers, and future generations. So yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, and like, you know, as you say, like this event at the weekend, like we tend to kind of put the blinkers on and just look, oh, rally. Like,
yeah.
There's so much that the Motorsport Ireland takes in, the racing, the karting, you know, as you say, the sporting trials, that, you know, all them things. And females are involved right from the you know, the grassroots level right up to the very top.
Yeah, I mean, what was amazing from the event that we did on Saturday, it opened up everyone's eyes to the multidisciplines that are out there, certainly for me as well. I had known a bit about sporting trials, mud plugging, but I hadn't really understood it. And it's accessible. You can actually start it from 10 years of age. And also you can actually sit in the car with the competitor. It's called you're called a bouncer. These are the things I found out and learn that way. And, you know, there was incredible girls who spoke on a panel. And also what was interesting was the COC from the event on Saturday actually started off her motorsport kind of career in rallying and co-driving. And here she was, the COC, of a sporting trial. So, you know, when you join a club, check and see what disciplines they have, and make sure, you know, if you join a club, most disciplines are accessible. Some are more expensive than others, but either on the competitor side, you can look at something like mud plugging or karting or the autocross, or, you know, the autotest and the night navs. And then obviously on the volunteer side, it's just a blanket of opportunities, as we know. I know there'll be a lot of marshals heading down to West Cork this weekend. But, you know, volunteering is just the best way to get involved. And I think now with the Motorsport Ireland have launched the Young Marshalling Programme, which means now not only is volunteering accessible for obviously over 18s, it will become accessible for younger age groups as well, which is phenomenal. And I think it will drive more involvement in the sport and obviously more interest in the sport, and that keep that those generations coming up through the ranks.
Yeah, because we did the younger blood coming through. You know, we're so used to going to events here and we see the same faces, you know, every event, no matter where you're, north, south, east or west. We need fresh faces and we need new people coming.
100%. And I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, you know, there are certain elements of finances that can restrict competing. But like, as I mentioned, there are also other disciplines that you can get involved in that aren't. That don't involve high investment. But obviously, at the end of the day, volunteering, everyone talks about the rally family. You go to one rally, you get hooked, you meet people. We all know how friendly, you know, the motorsport community is, whatever discipline you go to. And I think the overriding message from the weekend from every single panel and every single panelist was call your local club, reach out to anybody on Facebook who was at the event, reach out to Motorsport Ireland. All the panelists spoke about, come talk to me, you know, really welcoming. And that's how people ultimately just get involved, is picking up the phone, dropping an email, dropping a text message to somebody. And it goes from there. And then you find that your weekends are taken up by Motorsport Ireland and lots of motorsport activity, which I think at the end of the day, everyone knows it's slightly addictive and just so rewarding.
Yeah, and the great thing with all forms of motorsport, it doesn't matter whether you're male, female, you know, 18, 80, 12, there's something there for you to get involved in.
Absolutely. And actually, what was really lovely to see on Saturday at the event as well was some of our panelists hadn't come from a motorsport background. Interestingly, we had Ruth Ann O'Connor join one of our competitor panels, and she didn't come from any background. And she described how she got involved where John needed a navigator one weekend. And she's like, yeah, I'll give it a go, and had no experience. And she said, by the end of that weekend, she just decided this seat is mine and no one else is getting it. So, like I said, there's people who don't come from motorsport and simply just fall into it, or, you know, whether they meet somebody or see it on television. So I think the message is, just because you haven't come from it is more of a reason to reach out to us, because, you know, you clearly want to get involved, and the door is open for anyone to get involved.
Yeah. And for yourself personally, it's nice to be able to give a voice to, you know, those people that are out there standing on the ditches, or those people involved, you know, co-driving or whatever. It's, you know, sometimes their voice is not heard, so it's nice to be able to speak out and let everybody know just how magnificent of a sport we have here.
Yeah, I mean, I was in absolute awe, and I said it at the event on Saturday, like the people in the room, the experience, the number of years they have given to volunteering and compete, like I couldn't even touch the surface on it. And I suppose what I just try and do is, you know, try and help these people know that there is, you know, opportunities for them to progress. They might be doing a basic role in the club. We've seen our female COCs. We've seen full teams of females lead events. We've seen, you know, scrutineers coming up through the ranks. And I think it's just making sure we're talking about it and we're putting that information out there, that there is no barrier. And I think the one thing that was really evident on Saturday was we had a great contingency of men in the room who absolutely are amazing, supporting females coming up through the ranks, to, you know, make sure there are future females doing the head jobs. And I think that's the one thing that is evident about motorsport in Ireland, is that there are great, great male role models and male mentors really pushing through the next generation and the females to get to those roles that they're naturally talented at doing, whether it be on the competitor side or on the volunteer side. So it was a big message to say thank you to them, and please continue to help us do that, because, you know, without them, you know, a lot of us wouldn't be where we are today.
That's for sure. And then I suppose finally, just to reiterate what you said earlier, was get involved. You know, call your local motor club, go onto the Motorsport Ireland website, whatever, you know, text the competitors, speak to people in service area. Everybody is there and wants to help.
Yeah, and also there's a full list of events, and sometimes maybe certain disciplines get more promotion than others, but on the Motorsport Ireland website, they have a full list of events, and I can guarantee you there is something on every weekend, because when we went to book in our event, we clashed with everything. There was no, like, there was a night nav in Monaghan on Saturday and during at night, and there was the sporting trial on during the day. So there is no weekend, I think, without an event. So therefore, there's always, always, always something going on in your area. So yeah, they've got the fullest of events there. So I suggest just turn up at it, and I guarantee you, you'll get hooked. And next thing you know, you'll be working your way up the ranks as well.
Lovely to hear from Sinead there, and about, you know, not just what herself and Michael are going to be up to in West Cork, but also just the forum as well, and what's happening in the background there with regard to, you know, encouraging and supporting women in motorsport. Kevin, I also got the chance to catch up with Mikey Galvin to chat about, obviously, West Cork coming up, second round of the ITRC, but also the recent announcement that himself and Keith were going to be undertaking the British Rally Championship this year as well. Mikey, thanks for joining us. You have a busy couple of weeks coming up. West Cork Rally's just around the corner, and then you're straight into the Northwest Stages as first round of the BRC.
Yeah, Connor, it's extremely busy, actually. It's more busy than I had planned on being this year. It's busier than an ordinary guy like me should be anyway, with rallying. But no, looking forward to it. Like, there's an awful lot to get through this month, but it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff.
Yeah. And you're saying you're busier than you planned. The BRC wasn't really on the cards this year, was it?
No, not at all. Not at all, actually. It all kind of started happening just around Galway time. Literally in the middle of Galway time. So Ireland was well enough, and, you know, there's a lot of work to do in Ireland alone. And then when the BRC thing came up, look, it's an opportunity that you can't turn away. They don't come around all the time. And, you know, as I always say, rallying won't always be there for everyone. So, you know, you have to take it when it's there and when the opportunity is there. So look, as much as we give out and say, oh, you know, we have all this rallying to do, you know, it's a blessing too. And it's an amazing opportunity to have.
And, you know, with the BRC, it's a hunt for the fifth title. And that's been an ambition of Keith and yourselves for a while now.
Yeah, we were close a couple of years ago. We led it for a little bit, and Oisin and Noel took it in the finish. That was a great year. But yeah, we've been going back since I won it in 17 with Keith. That was his fourth, and that was the last time we won it. But we started back in 18. I think we went back in 21. Did it in 22. We were second. We did a little bit last year. Didn't go so far. So yeah, years are shoving on. You're kind of saying, oh my God, is that, you know, that long ago since we won it in 17, we've actually gone back there quite a few times, which we loved, you know, we love going back there. But I think this is a good year to go back and have another crack at it.
You mentioned it's a good year. Like, from the point of view of the BRC, it's been revitalized. They've done a bit of revamping. Yep. It's got a whole new PR media package, and it's also attracted quite a strong entry, probably one of the strongest we've seen in you know, half a dozen years.
Yeah, no, like as I said before, I actually love going to the UK to rally. There's something cool about it. It's just a slightly different thing to hear. You know, you just get to go to lovely places that you wouldn't always get to be. But the rallying there is good. The mixture of surfaces is good. You know, Keith goes well in gravel and tarmac. I think, you know, he loves tarmac, but I'm not sure which one he actually prefers more. He likes both of them quite equally. But yeah, we go to West Cork this week. Obviously Galway went well, and then a brand new car and a whole new package, and it was a flawless event, and we really enjoyed it. So now we have West Cork coming up, which is a big event, a 3-day event. It's almost like a Donegal. Everyone always talks about Donegal being the big event in Ireland, but which it is for sure, but West Cork is almost that this weekend. So we made some notes this weekend, and there's a lot of work, a lot of high speed, which suits. But it's I had forgotten how fast West Cork was. Again, it's been 2016 since I was there last, and geez, you know, you see some of the roads, you're like, God Almighty, the speed here is going to be incredible. But looking forward to it, yeah.
And what condition are the stages in? Because we saw Galway was fairly tricky, you know, wet and greasy and that. And there's been a lot of rain since Galway. So, you know, West Cork hasn't escaped that. So what shape are the stages in?
Overall, they're quite good. There's a couple of places where I'd say there was a few farmers out spreading some slurry. So there's a couple of small sections when you look at it in the whole picture, small sections where there's a lot of mud. Compressed onto, it was dry the weekend, so compressed onto a dry tarmac. Maybe it'll wash off if a bit of rain comes, which it already has this evening down here. It might wash off. It's kind of hard to tell, but overall it's very, very good. I'd say there could be, as I said, it was dry, but you can see where shiny tar is going to be shiny in the wet. There's some very, very abrasive stuff, but there's some stuff I'd say if there was a bit of moisture on there, could be a different story. Which makes it tricky because it's awfully, awfully high speed. But it's a rally of its own. It's something special. It's kind of a choppy tarmac with extremely high speed and gradients as well. I haven't seen many stages like in West Cork where you have very, very steep downhill sections of very, very fast roads. It's incredible, yeah.
And you mentioned it kicks off on the Friday with four stages. Two of those are in the dark. So, you know, a bit of a novelty for Irish Rally. We don't get too many nighttime stages. What's the view? Is there any extra preparation? Do you put extra detail into the notes or anything for those?
Not so much. You just have to make sure your map light is working. there's something as simple as that, you know, having the map light working, because you might very rarely use it. And then when it gets dark all of a sudden, you know, there's so much to be doing, and you have to have that prepped, you know, we'll say for me anyway. But Keith usually goes well enough in the dark. We would do quite a bit of it in the UK, so it's nothing too strange for us at the moment, which is good. But the lights are so good on the cars now and stuff, you know, from what it was, I'd say 20, 30 years ago. Now the lights, we'll say on the top cars, I'll only speak for, the lights are just incredible. Once they keep working.
Yeah, well, that's it exactly. And also, you mentioned, you know, jokingly there about the map light, but the car is new to you. You only just got to jump into it literally just before Galway. So you're still familiarizing yourself with a Fiesta.
Yeah, at Galway, literally. Saturday morning was the first time I set into that car in Galway. And there's a few hiccups along the way there, but we got it sorted. But the map light, why I say that is I remember a few years ago, I think it was the Isle of Man, we started the stage in the bright, and it was getting dark in the middle of the stage, and we just turned off of a main road into a place under trees, and I didn't have my map light on, and when we turned that square left, everything just went dark, and it was that, you know, 3 seconds of absolute panic when you can't see, but got it sorted. But I never forgot, have your map light in order and ready to go. Even if it's bright, turn it on, people.
And you mentioned, obviously mentioned conditions, the stages and the speed of them, etc. as well. But, you know, we have that increased level of competition again for the ITRC this year. You know, we've got Josh and Callum, our regulars, but we've also got Matt. And for West Cork, you've got William Crichton as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. It'll be great to see William going now and stuff. But I suppose after coming out of Galway, there's a bit of expectation on us, which is fine. You know, it's a natural thing. Galway was an extremely different kind of event. But there's no doubt, you know, it should be okay. We should have a good enough run. But it's a long rally, so there's no need to jump in too quickly and make a silly mistake, because as we said earlier, it's a very, very long event. But it's a very different event, you know, if it's dry, if it's just a completely different terrain. Other people could excel here. You know, we might necessarily do what happened in Galway at all. We might not. So who knows?
And when you have that expectation, does it add a little bit of extra pressure or a little bit of tension to come and, you know, to the start ramp of an event?
I suppose it does naturally. Yeah, because going to Galway, there was no expectation really. You know, I suppose that Keith always has a little bit of it himself, you know, but in general, it was a new car. We'd been away for, you know, give or take a year. So there wasn't much expected. You know, the regulars were coming back from the year before and all that. But now, coming forward 5 weeks and how Galway went, there is that kind of a thing as, oh, you know, you should be fast and you should be this and you should be that, which does, but you have to kind of have to blank that out a small bit, because if you let that in too much, it's probably not a great thing.
And, you know, again, looking ahead to the first round of the BRC, that's also on asphalt. So, and you have a week in between. So that must be great to literally go from back to back events on tarmac again, as both of you are getting settled into that car.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was one of the things for doing the BRC as well, was that, you know, all going well, you were going to be fresh going forward throughout, you know, through the year. You were going to be match fit and more so, you know, as the events went on. So look, we said as the opportunity came, we might as well do it, but it's going to be busy. You know, when you're using a car to do multiple events like that, the car has to make it home, which is, you know, the obvious thing. But we finish in West Cork on Sunday and we fly to London on Thursday. So it's kind of hectic, and then we have the Circuit of Ireland the weekend after that, so there's a whole chain reaction of things that has to go okay, the car being one of them. So if the car's in one piece, it'll make life an awful lot easier in the next 3 weeks. Easier said than done, though.
Oh no, absolutely. But with that in mind, is there an element where you might just back off a little bit and go for points rather than prizes?
I guess there is. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah, well, you see, it'll all depend on how we'll say the first day goes. You know, it is a local enough event for Keith. He's gone very well there before. We took a second there in 16. We were the first R5 car home in 16, so we can go well there. So we know that, you know, there's some amount of speed there that we could use. But things have moved on an awful lot since then. But we'll see, you know, we'll see after Friday night, see how things are looking. If, you know, it's in a good place, yeah, you're going to push on and try and hold on to it. If the guys are going to be in a different place than they were in Galway and we're going to be on the back foot, well, then you have an opportunity to take points. Having first win of the year is always a nice thing. It always creates a kind of a cushion for you, doesn't it? But I'm sure we won't be hanging around too long.
And Mikey, last time we spoke, what do you call it? It was after Galway, and you mentioned about, you know, the speed of the cars, and the cars literally are on the edge. And since then, we've seen a message from MI involving Josh and Callum and some of the other crews talking about, you know, spectator safety, basically. So I just wanted to, you know, you've said how fast the West Cork stages look. I was just wanted to get your view on that.
Yeah, look, to anyone who's going to be spectating the rally this weekend that's listening to this, just be careful out there. We don't want to lose any more stages. The stages are extremely, extremely fast. So, you know, there's only one answer. If a car is to leave the road, it's quite dangerous. So just be careful. Listen to the marshals and don't stand anywhere silly. Anyone out there should have a fair idea of what's what. So just be careful and enjoy it.
And, you know, you mentioned there about losing the stage, and you know, we know that the option for MI there is if they're not happy where people are standing, they'll cancel the stage. And I suppose you'll probably see that coming into play more because they need to prove a point. But from your point of view, looking for as many points as possible for the championship, you can't afford to lose a stage for that reason.
No, we can't. It can work in some people's favour, and it can also work against them if you were to lose a stage or more. You know, there's enough stages lost due to blockages and everything else. So let's, you know, try not lose them because people aren't going to listen to the marshals out there. You know, I get, I've been there watching rallies. You want to watch it in, you know, a really good place and whatever. But you can do that without being completely silly. So let's keep them all going the weekend and keep everyone safe.
Huge thanks to Mikey for his time. I know he's absolutely up to his eyes getting prepped for West Cork. So really appreciate taking the time to chat to us. And look, you know, we got on to an important message there around spectator safety. We saw in Galway there were a few issues. We just can't afford to risk having a problem on the stages.
That's for sure. And like, it was Niall Burns, you know, we spoke there off air from the recording. And he mentioned, you know, he was at Marshalling and Mayo. And he says, like, you know, spectators were coming onto the stage whenever they thought the stage was cancelled, because, you know, there's some drivers coming through with the helmets off and all. But you have to remember that you know, the marshals and the officials have 12 minutes to get the stage live again. You know, there may be a few cars go through in convoy, you know, if they get held up at the scene of an accident. But another car could be coming down the stage live in a very short time. So I think that's just another very important message there to put out there. So if you're in West Cork or at any rally this year, just always listen to what, you know, the marshals and the officials are telling you to do. That's vitally important, you know. So all for our own good, you know, for the good of everybody competing and, you know, spectating or whatever. Just listen to what you've been told. So anyway, I think we'll hear now from Kevin O'Driscoll, who is the press officer for the West Cork Rally, and Kevin will tell us all the details about the event this weekend. Kevin, West Cork can up now to 3 days. Action kicks off Friday evening. Nice to see a bit of variety in the rally this year.
Yeah, it's something different. We'll see how it works out. I mean, the club have had experience of a United stage before. Once that was a single stage, obviously, on that evening. But yeah, this is a little bit different now, on an extra day. And, you know, it's an interesting concept. You know, I was even surprised myself when I heard that it came about or was coming about. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, the rally is still very well supported, as you can see by numbers. I mean, I think Donna Kelly said to me there recently in a chat with him, he was saying that night stages are the way to go in lots of ways, because a lot of these younger lads that are going to Europe are racing night time anyway, you know. And I suppose it's the novelty of night stages for the local drivers. There's a big local entry this year, so I think the novelty of doing a night stage there too is a big thing, you know. So it's, hopefully it'll all work out okay now, but it's nice to have that bit of variety and something a bit different about it, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, there is something pretty special about, you know, lights and the noise, and, you know, it's more visual, you know, it really attacks the senses.
It does. I mean, it was crap for the Ulster Rally last year, but it was pretty much a night stage by the time the last cars came around, and it was horrendous weather. But still, at the same time, it was still interesting because, you know, you were just seeing guys going fast. They dared to go, I suppose. But yeah, it was the noise and the lights and everything else. And it's just fantastic. Like, it's just, it should be a good spectacle now, hopefully all going well.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about numbers there. Like, record numbers this year. Like, the West Cork hasn't seen an entry like this in, was it 1980 something? I think you,
They would have, I think back in the early 80s, they would have started somewhere between 150 and 170 a lot of years. I'm not sure what the legal limit was at the time, but you know, it would have been one of the highest supported values at the time. There's what, 172 or 173 currently now, there's no reserves anymore, but at the same time it's still very high. Like, I mean, look, if it starts 160, it's still a good, it's a good weekend's work for the club and for everyone involved. And you know, I think it shows that, you know, even now things maybe not, you know, that you can see that numbers of entries are dropping slightly compared to last year and the year before, but at the same time there's still, you know, there's still a good strong healthy entry there. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I think, like I said, we're on 172 or 171 at the moment, and you know, probably lose one or two more, possibly before, maybe a few more before the weekend. But yeah, it would have been, I think we started 159 last year, 160 the year before, similar numbers to Donegal. So I think if you're starting around 160 again, plus the historics and juniors, you know, still doing okay. You know,
that's for sure. Right, because like between the historics and the juniors, there's another 40 odd there too, as well. Too,
there's about 30. Yeah, there's 36, but yeah, 24 historics, 12 juniors. Yeah, yeah. Going.
Yeah, so and like, you know, you talked, you know, not just quantity, the quality of the entry list is very good again this year. Like the top 10 is, you know, it's everybody there you'd want.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Josh will be going for, you know, he's won a Duvalli twice, he's looking to go for a hat trick, and you know, a couple of drivers have won Duvalli three times before, but only Donna has ever managed to do it three times consecutively. Josh had that chance this year. Obviously the issue was Mayo could be, you know, could show a spell under works, a new car. It'll be a bit, probably a little bit more difficult, but he's got a lot of experience in the event. He's done nearly every West Cork rally, I think, since 2014, I think, or 2015. So he's probably one of the most experienced of the top 10 in doing West Cork. I mean, Callum's had, you know, mixed enough fortunes in West Cork over time, led one year, but not really been at the races the last 2 years much, or not last year. And you know, so 2 years ago, he was unlucky, actually. He was leading, then Josh caught him and the gearbox failed. Keith has only ever done West Cork four times, you know, surprisingly for a West Cork man. So, you know, now he was second 1 year. Matt Edwards was there in 2019. So, again, would have a slight bit of experience of it. Like William Crichton, to be honest, is probably the most recent experience of anyone. And that's what makes it really interesting, because along with Josh, you know, and Callum, he's been there every year with the last 4 or 5 years, and you know, has been increasingly impressive. And every time he's been out in the Rally 3 car, so now he's in something a bit more potent. You know, it could be very interesting. I mean, maybe Cost possibly could do with tempering it a little bit at the first stage or two, because he did cost himself a bit of time last year on it. But I think he's more than capable of getting a very strong result, or you know, even in that company, I think, you know,
because like you know, his times he was putting in the Rally 3 car, like in the last couple of years, have been exceptional. Like, so, you know, if the transition to the Rally 2 car is, you know, is smooth, there's no doubt, but, you know, especially by, hopefully by Sunday evening, he's not going to be far off the pace.
You'd imagine he shouldn't be, because he was 7th overall 2 years ago, and then in the Rally 3 last year, he was 11th, but he was starting sitting top 6 times on the second day. He just had a puncture on the first days last year. Mm-hmm. That ruined his chances of a really top result. But yeah, he's extremely quick and fantastic to watch. Loved his style of driving. He's really aggressive style of driving. He's great to watch. Mm-hmm. Johnny Greer, like 6. Like Johnny, as I said before, loads of times, it's just a slow starter, but his times actually the last couple of years of West Cork have all been the top 3 on the second day. You know, mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's put Callum under serious pressure the last 2 years. They knew Ryan Loughran, 7, has never done West Cork before. So that's an interesting one, but was very, very good in Galway. Mm-hmm. You know, set some blinding times in Galway. So he's, you know, he's somebody that'll, it'll probably take him a bit of time, but, you know, but Ryan's quick everywhere he goes anyway. It doesn't matter, you know, and what, it doesn't matter what he's driving. He's quick. And then you have the likes of David Kelly and James Ford, Declan Boyle. Like they've all done West Cork before. Mixed results on them, but, you know, they'll be guys that, you know, they'll be there, you know, waiting the wings, I suppose, like Gary Kiernan did, and Eddie Doherty will be two more. Eddie will be very good result to Mayo. Mm-hmm. And Gary's done West Cork, God knows how many times at this stage. Not always been his luckiest of it, but when he has finished, it's always been winning a trophy of some sort. So, mm-hmm. You know, all those guys will be, they'll be going head for leather. And of course, you have the local group. Then you'll have David Guest, Cal McCarthy, Owen Murphy, Jason McSweeney. All those four guys will be looking for top West Cork honours. All of it, Jason won it last year. You know, but all any of those four guys will be, you know, hoping to, and there'll be more guys behind them as well, looking to get ahead of them. But they'll be the four guys, look, probably favourites to get the top honours for local drivers anyway.
Yeah, because those four seem to push each other on too, don't they? They push each other further and further up the leaderboard.
Sure about Kel, but I think definitely, I know Owen Murphy and David Guest and Jason McQueen have all won with best Cork driver before anyway. So Kel has been thereabouts once or twice and has, you know, a bit of luck in Galway, but has had really good results, really good performances over the last number of months anyway. So again, he won't be that far away. And that's only the modulated classes. Like, you go into the modifieds, then you go to, you know, different league altogether. You know, you know, James Stafford and you have John Dalton back out and Kevin Eaves and these boys, you know. Look, compared to some years like last year, obviously, we Daniel McKinnon, Chris Armstrong, and Jason Black, they're not there this year, but still, there's still quality there. Like, you have Jonathan Pringle and Gary McPhillips, who've never done the rally before. So, you know, it's interesting as well. So, I'll see how they get on.
And like Frank Kelly, sings West Cork's praises to anybody that listened to him, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And Damien Toner's has, you know, some good results there as well in West Cork, you know. And good to see him there. Conor Murphy as well, you know. So, there's plenty more behind him as well that'll push them as well, keep them honest, you know. So. Yeah.
And I suppose we should, you know, before we move on, it's the top of the field as well, you know. Like, you mentioned, you know, Keith Crone, the local man, too. Like, I would say he would like to claim, you know, the bragging rights, been, you know, been a local event to himself as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think Daniel actually won Best West Cork Driver 2 years ago. I think actually he obviously would have had it back in 2016, but I mean, Keith has only won two international rallies in Ireland, and both of them have been Galway, you know. So it'd be nice to add a couple more to that. I would imagine Killarney and West Cork would probably be up there as among his preferred ones to win. A very close winning to the goal, of course, a couple of years ago as well. But yeah, I mean, if he's on the form he was in Galway, he will be hard stopped. There's no question. He's an exceptionally talented driver. They're himself and Melky are a very, very good team. You know, maybe West Cork's roads and maybe the conditions, depending now how it goes, mightn't be as challenging as what you might find in Galway, for example, in February. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I think you know, Keith will still be the man to watch and man to catch, I think, because he just hit the ground running this year when he's come back into that car. And, you know, he's just exceptionally talented.
For sure, for sure. And then Matt Edwards, you know, like, you know, Matt was unlucky in Galway, but when he come back, like, on the Sundays, you know, the times were just right on the nail as well, too. So, you know, if he gets the wee bit of luck and a good one behind him, he's not going to be far away either.
No, he won't. And I mean, he's been here in 2019 as well. I mean, he had a great battle with Tom Cave that year, you know, behind Alice Fisher and Craig Green, but none of them were actually that far apart from each other. And, you know, to be honest, I mean, you know, Matt was probably out. He's probably a bit more, we'd say, car ready now than he would have been when he would have done West Cork in 19 anyway. You know, he's a bit more, you know, obviously he hasn't been out exceptionally often, but when he has been quick. Obviously, he's done the Gaul experiences in the last couple of years as well, will have stood to him as well. So, I think he'll be thereabouts. If he can get, you know, it's like anything with any of the guys, if they can get through the first four stages, the two of them in the night, and, you know, I suppose shuffling for position and world positions the following day. And, you know, they're really like almost like shakedown stages in a way, just to get a good position on the road the following day. I think it'll be interesting to see how it'll go, and it'll be interesting to see who will adapt to the night stages better. Obviously, the younger lads, you always feel, will have that slight bit more of an advantage, but then they're all, none of them are particularly old anyway, so they'll be, yeah, I think it'll be just be very interesting. Anyone who's done probably rallied in the UK will be used to having done some night stages or in Europe, so it'll be
yeah, and like, I think the Ulster kind of showed that, you know, there's time to be midnight as well too, you know, like maybe the horrendous weather conditions didn't help the Ulster as well, but, you know, there could be 10 or 15 seconds found that, you know, mightn't be found in the stage in daylight, where suddenly, you know, you're up 10 or down 10 just very quickly.
Could be. I can't really remember how it worked back in 2018 when Donald was there, but I do remember Donald saying it was extremely challenging for him. Obviously, he was a bit older than some of the guys that were behind him, chasing him, even though he had this to focus. But he did say, like, it was a stage, and there was only 1-1 in the night that time. But he did feel that it was a difficult stage for him, because he wouldn't have been as used to driving nights compared to some of the other guys. But, it could be certainly a very big leveler, especially with all the cars now would have very kind of an even keel. Like, you know, the cars now aren't, you know, as far apart in spec as they would have been maybe back 6-7 years ago when you had World Cars still going. So it'll be, it'll be very interesting. It'll be interesting as well to see, of course, how the top modifiers will do in that as well. I mean, some of those guys, you know, bravery will go a long way there as well.
And then there'll be some of them, you know, would have competed in Killarney there in the end of 2023. Well, you know, they'll be not used to it, but they'll have a wee bit of experience in it as well.
Exactly, I think so. Yeah, you know, it'll be something that we haven't had as much experience of in Ireland, bar the historic lakes over in the past number of years, or like that, the Ulster as well. Mm-hmm. So yes, it makes a nice change. It'll be interesting to see how it goes, and hopefully all go fine. And you know, as I said, it's certainly like the two stages, Ballinscarty or Rossmore, will be, you know, well-known stages, or relatively well-known. Those stages have been used, are elements of well-known parts of those stages. So they're all about 11 or 12k anyway. So, you know, and they're good roads as well. Like, you know, they'll be pretty decent roads to drive on as well. I don't see any huge issues with them. They're not mountainy roads or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a class that's really come to the fore now in the last year or so is the Rally 4 category now. And, you know, this Stellantis Cup, you know, there's, I think, 11 starters from it. And then, you know, there's other guys out in Fiestas and all too. Like, that's going to be some battle over the weekend as well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. Actually, Keelan Grogan won it last year. Keelan's there now again this year with Ryan McHugh, and they had a super battle in Galway. Mm-hmm. You know, they were down to the last stage. They knew Craig Rahan as well, who got some car time in Mayo as well, and was exceptionally good in the Mark II. So, you know, if he gets used to that car, I think he'll be thereabouts. You've Ewan Lloyd, who's a serious pilot. I think, you know, he's going to be there or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. Like, just there's loads of lads there. Any one of them are capable of, you know, putting in a good performance. I mean, I think last year was Keelan's first time doing West Cork, and he won the category. And, you know, okay, he had to fight hard to win it, but it just goes to show that, if you know, that you don't have to know the stages to come down and do well there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like these young guys that's coming up through now, like with all the training they're getting through MI Academy and the, you know, the work they're putting in themselves, they are capable of just turning up, doing a really good recce and putting in a strong performance. You know, they don't seem to need to take that 2-3 years to build up experience of events. They can just seem to go and adapt really quickly.
Yeah, I suppose to see they're young yet, they haven't found a fear gene yet.
They could be as much as
that. Yeah, they would have to. Yeah, they do. There is a lot of talent. There is no question. They really are. They're good guys out there and good girls, whatever. The academy is boost drivers to the fore as well. So, you know, it's all helping, and it's getting, I suppose, it's giving them experience to try different kinds of events and different countries. And, you know, as I said, we're lucky here that we're getting to see them. You know, okay, some mightn't go abroad ultimately, but at least we're getting to see some really good drivers here on our own shores, you know, while they're trying to make the breakthrough. Some might never want to travel, some may do, but at least we're lucky enough to have them here from the start. And then, you know, wherever they decide to go after that, you know, we can say at least we saw them in action when we were starting out, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that, you know, because they're so good, and, you know, I think that's helping spread out. You know, it's not just confined to them. They're pushing other guys on to try and get to their pace as well, and that's filtering out through, you know, whether it's with co-drivers or other competitors or whatever, and that's lifting everybody's pace.
It is, I suppose. I mean, if you look at a Caleb Devine back in 2018, would have been driving a Fiesta or two type car, you know, a turbo car in West Cork at that time. Mm-hmm. And had a really good drive. But like William Crichton came over here in the Peugeot 208, or came down here in the 208 first, and I suppose he's probably the best example in terms of, you know, we're lucky to get to see him in action here now. As he's gone through the ranks with different types of cars trying it out. I know he does himself and Liam do like doing West Cork anyway. I've said it as one of their favourite events, but it's great to see where he started from 6-7 years ago doing West Cork, and then coming to here now with a Rally 2 car, which is up there with the best of them.
Yeah, and he's coming back as world champion as well too.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly. He's a title to his name, and it shows that, you know, it probably is an inspiration for those guys coming on behind. Mm-hmm. You know, and show them a pathway that they, you know, obviously you need a little bit of luck along the way as well, but add a bit of backing and everything else. But you have to be able to drive those cars as well. And William can certainly drive, there's no question.
That's for sure. And, you know, it's not a one-make category, but the level of competition in the historics, like those guys there too, like, you know, again, a really strong entry. 24, I think, isn't it starting?
24 historics there. Yeah. I mean,
The level there is fantastic, and it's been really well supported by the English and Welsh cruisers, particularly this year.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny, actually, looking at the seating there, it was the top two lads from last year were Duncan Williams and Wayne Evans. They came first and second. Only seat the 7 and 8 this year, but it shows the quality that's out there at the very front. You know, I mean, like Neil Williams and Anthony Sullivan would have been favourites last year, but they got a puncture. And, you know, I mean, Anthony lives on Ardfield anyway, he knows the stage, but Neil is an exceptionally quick driver anyway. He'd have to be favoured. But then, like Marion Evans didn't have any luck last year. He came over out of winning Galway. I think he damaged the steering in the first stage and it was pretty much out, and that was him done. And that was like a big loss to Evan very early on. And then you have Ray Breen, like, Ray's really quick, getting really quick in that super, and I was really getting used to that car. So yeah, he's there, thereabouts. Like, you've Thomas Davis is very experienced in West Cork. He's, I say, he's driven in lots of types of cars in West Cork at this stage, and can't be ruled out. You have Tom Clark. Tom is extremely quick. You know, Tom wasn't that far away in West Cork last year. So there's lots of guys there. I mean, you could really keep going. Obviously, an interesting one when you have Greg Cozier from Barbados coming over as well. You know, and the Mark 1 Escort is a fabulous looking car. You know, you've Gwyneth Evans from Wales coming over for what, his 20th time, I think. You know, and still as competitive as any of them, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's great to see. So, it should be an interesting battle. They'll get, for the first time, they're going to get the two full days now, Saturday and Sunday. So, it'll be interesting. So, they'll be kicking off Saturday morning. They get 14 stages rather than 10 this year. So, they'll have a good one at it now, all going well.
Yeah, and then the juniors as well. We've seen maybe in the last year or so, junior numbers kind of fallen off a wee bit, but they seem to be coming back again this year. West Cork's are very strong.
Solid with 12, we 12 of them, and it's probably pretty static this year and last year, with 11 or 12 last year too. But yeah, it is, and it's still a very good category for those wanting to start out. It's overrun by Civics. The Civics are probably the easiest car to procure for that situation and whatever. But yeah, and again, there's three Cork guys at the top, Evan McAvoy and Aaron Brown and Barry McIntyre. And like, certainly, particularly with Evan and Aaron, Kyle Brown, two East Cork guys there, they'll be really going hell for leather at it. You know, it'll be very interesting to see how that one will pan out. But, and then there'll be other guys like Ronan Lacey and Dylan Sheehan, Graham Roach. You know, these are all guys that some of them haven't had much rally is done, but be interesting. The next hero always comes out of there somewhere, you know, there's always someone who moves on from it, you know. So, yeah, so it looks like there should be. I should be a good one. They'll get the six stages on Sunday, so you know, to get some good stages in that as well. So,
And then, you know, we always say about, you know, how important sponsors is for the event as well too. And like, you are blessed down there because, you know, the whole community takes this rally on board as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have to thank the likes of, let's say, you know, you have the Clonakilty Chamber of Commerce. Well, first and foremost, maybe the West Cork Rally Committee, the guys down there that pull everything together, you know, and then obviously with the sponsors through and the Clonakilty Park Hotel, which has been the title sponsor and the, you know, the headquarters for over 20 years now. It's been a fantastic arrangement and, you know, it's a win-win for everyone, really, because it's such a fantastic facility down there. Then you have the Chamber of Commerce in Clonakilty. You have Clonakilty Black Pudding, Cat of Ireland, Cahan Ready Mix, and Cork County Council have all been very, very supportive. So, you know, again, you can't really, you can run an event, certainly, to a point, but you can't run the quality of the event that you want to run without that kind of backing. You have to have good backing, and you have to have solid backing and support from everywhere. And they do, and as we said before, people do buy into the event. It's fantastic for the local economy. You know, you have to say that, you know, you'd have to take everyone involved from sponsors, residents, marshals, you know, the council, the guards, and anyone else who helps to make the event happen, because there is, there's any amount of work goes into it. We have Ronan Comerford this year doing chief marshal with Emily O'Driscoll as his deputy, and they've done a massive amount of work. You know, they've pulled in a huge amount of marshals so far, which is great to hear. And, you know, it's great to see Ronan's younger lads coming out and helping and doing stuff on the ground. So, and he's doing a really good job so far. So hopefully now that it'll all work out from on the weekend. But yeah, they're really putting the effort into it. So, you know.
Yeah, because it is great to see that younger generation and like Motorsport Ireland started, like, you know, the Junior Marshal, you know, initiative as well too. And, you know, and getting involved with the road safety campaigns and all that. It's great to see so much positivity about rallying at the moment as well.
There is. I mean, it's all very positive. There's a lot of work we put into it. And, you know, it's good to see that they're getting younger people involved in it, because, I mean, you know, it's no point in having a sport for older people, because any sport will die away if you don't get younger blood into it. And you do need to get that into it. And, you know, getting people, it's not all about just competing. It's great to get them to do some work on the ground and see how things are run and, you know, come up with ideas of their own as well. Because just because something has been done the same way for 30 years doesn't mean it's the right way or can be improved upon. You know, they come up with ideas and ways of doing things, and they should be supported doing that.
That's for sure. And, like, you know, if anybody wants to get involved in marshalling, I suppose contact Ronan. He has a Facebook page there, and I'm sure he'd be more than happy to hear from you.
Yeah, exactly. I actually don't know for Ronan Handy there, unfortunately. I mean, but yeah, definitely you'll get hold of Ronan. And as I said, he's a good lad, and as I said, he's put a good bit of work into this. So hopefully that it'll all come together from on the weekend, and then you get all the support he needs.
That's for sure.
And yeah, and I suppose really there isn't much else other than, I suppose, just to give a rundown of the menu for the weekend, I suppose, for want of a better way of putting it. So scrutiny is actually going to be on Thursday from 5 to 7 for anybody who wants to do it, in Clonakilty Car Centre. And then on Friday, it'll be from 7 to 11 a.m., obviously with our earlier start in the evening time. So the showgrounds in next to the Industrial Hall in near the quality, or the kind of, you call it the old name, Clonakilty Park Hotel, is the park fermi for the weekend. Okay, so a handy location. So on 3:30 then on Friday, the cars are going to be leaving that to go to service. So the first stage is kicking off in Ballinascarty at 16:28, so just nearly 4:30. And the second one of that will be at 7:15. That'll be the first dark stage. So Ross Moore is paired with that. So Ross Moore happens after that. The cars come back in for service in the Clonakilty Business Technology Park, which is just outside Clonakilty. It's a massive tarmac business park that hadn't been used in about 15, 16 years. So it's a great facility to have and very easy to get to, and it's open to the public. So that's that's great to have that. So that service will be after stage 2. And then after stage 4, the cars will come back into Clonakilty, into the, there's no ceremony at the start, obviously, because of the way things are going now. So with the stages, but what there will be a fan zone type thing on Friday evening with Andy and Killian. So they'll come off to stage 4 and they'll go into where the ceremony starts would have been in previous years in Aston Square in Clonakilty. And Andy and Killian will talk to the crews and they come off to 4 stages before they go back into Park Fermi for the night. Okay. So that should be an interesting idea. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
And then, so then Saturday then is the big day. Then you have Clogauk and Castletown as the starting stages. Bit different to the last couple of years. Castletown hasn't been used like that since 2003. Clogauk has been used about 6 years. Ring and Dunwoody, the afternoon. Ring has changed a little bit at the end of it. Dunwoody hasn't been used in that format since 2006 or 7, I think. It's been a good number of years. So new roads for a lot of people there, actually. And Sunday, we're going to Ardfield and Glendore, which we haven't been to for 10 years, which is a seriously good test, typical test. And Santa Cross around the whole thing off. So tough days rallying Sundays again, 6 stages, but very, long stages and, plenty of work in them. So there's plenty of mileage for everyone, definitely.
Either rally will not be over until it's over.
No, I don't think it will be. It's just a lot more variables this year now, especially with the extra couple of stages at the start and the fact that there are certain roads that probably very few drivers would have done. I suppose that's gives me a chance to bring in a mention of Joey O'Mahony, local driver, doing his 39th West Cork Rally this year. He's done most rallies since 1979, been a great supporter of the event. So I said he's just one short of the big 4-0 now once he gets started this year.
Yeah.
So and Jordan O'Connor's going for his 27th rally. So I mean, there's two local drivers. So it's don't know if there's so many guys can say they've done 39 of their home rallies.
No. There's not many stages he hasn't seen at this stage.
No, exactly. And Jory's one of the rallying gentlemen anyway, so it's good to see him back out again this year. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
And Kelly and Andy will be providing the coverage over the weekend.
Over the weekend on the Pace Notes. Yeah, they'll have all the updates and bits and pieces. Yeah,
and then they'll have a YouTube show later.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan. Anyhow, yeah.
So thanks to Kevin there and all our guests again this week. It's been an absolute pleasure hearing all the stories once again. And please like, share, rate, subscribe. All those things make the difference. So that's episode 15, season 3. So until next time, take care, speak soon, and bye.